Book of Philippians, chapter 3.
We got almost through chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 20 again, so we'll start with verse 20 of chapter 3. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, Amen. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the word that we have. We thank you for so many blessings, so great a salvation. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for your wonderful grace, and you've been so merciful to so many of us. And I ask you, dear Lord, that you'd bless all the Sunday school teachers and the preaching this day. And I pray you'd give me the freedom and ease that only you can give, and that, Lord, you'd touch everyone's heart with your word. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We went through verse 20 last week, but let's just read it again as looking at the foundation for verse 21. He's talking about changing our vile body that it may fashion like unto his glorious body. He's talking about Jesus Christ. The antecedent is Jesus Christ. Our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. How much of your conversation's in heaven? I wonder how much of my conversation is in heaven. Now, I think that's a spiritual truth, and I don't really understand it. The Bible talks about us being seated in the heavenlies right now, and I'm not sure I understand that. I've heard various explanations. I've read plenty of explanations. And most of them didn't make much sense to me. I didn't really understand how it fit. Except in the sense that we're already accepted by the Lord. If you're saved and you're in Christ, where is Christ? Christ is in the heavens. He's our great high priest interceding to the Father for us at this present time. And so he's seated in the heavenlies, and we are the body of Christ. We are in Christ, though, even though we're here in this earth, we're represented, seated in the heavens. And so, you know, it's pretty nice if you were going to go before a court, and your father was the judge, and your brother was your lawyer. Do you think you'd be in pretty good shape? I think you'd be in pretty good shape. You see, it's not always what you know, it's who you know. A lot of people know a lot of things about Christ. Of course, in this generation, I'm amazed at how many don't.
That's right.
When I was growing up, everybody knew the Bible stories. I was raised on the Bible stories. My grandmother told me the Bible stories all the time. Now, I didn't get saved until I was 21, but I knew the stories and memorized the Ten Commandments, the Beatitudes, Psalm 23, and a bunch of other things like that, John 3:16. Well, I consider that a real blessing. All that stuff was in the back of my head, and God could take it and just pull it out and use it. There are an awful lot of people, and you go knocking on some doors this next week, you just may meet some of them, they've never been in church. They've never been in Sunday school. They've never read their Bibles. They may not even have a Bible in their home. And so they're at a tremendous disadvantage. But in my thinking of going before the Father in heaven, because I'm in Christ, he's my Father. Think about that. Isn't that a blessing? I think that's a tremendous blessing. I can go before my Father, just like Jesus went before his Father. And you and I, he taught us to pray our Father. Our Father, which art in heaven. Now, I recognize that I am in Christ, and therefore I am seated in the heavenlies in Christ. Now, that's one way I look at Ephesians and some other places in the New Testament, and the term is in Christ. Everybody's elect that's in Christ. Everybody's blessed that's in Christ. But you're out of Christ, there is no blessing, there is no election. If you're out of Christ, you have nothing. Now, where is Christ? I'm part of his body. You're part of his body. And Christ is in the heavenlies. So, in a sense, we have our conversation, and I don't know that that's speaking about just our speech. Conversation is a little bigger word to me. It means behavior. It means our whole life, the way we act, the way we think, who we are. Well, bless your heart, I got changed and I got saved. I don't know about you, but God did a job on me. He made me different. I guarantee you some of the ways I used to think, I don't think that way anymore. And some of the things I hated, now I love. Some things I love, now I hate. So I've had a change in my conversation, have I not? I've had a change in my conversation because I'm in Christ and I'm seated in the heavenlies. But I wanted to go back to showing that Jesus Christ is a subject of verse 20. And then it says, who, Jesus Christ, shall change our vile body. Now, if you don't believe your body's vile, just don't bathe for about a month. You know what you'll figure out? You stink. You stink. And some of you try to do it with perfume and whatever. Oh, goodness. I like baths better. I greatly approve of baths. Take them often. It's better than any perfume you can buy. And by the way, we have very good water, superior water here in Texas. You see the signs everywhere. Superior water system. Our vile body. You don't think your body is vile? You think about all the doctors you're going to see in the future. You know why? Your vile body is deteriorating. It is wasting away. I mean, it's an absolute law of science. Things don't really get better with age, do they? Oh, boy, we're young and we just get bigger and stronger and we keep looking to getting older and bigger and stronger and smarter and richer and everything else. Well, there is a point somewhere down the line. I remember I was fighting my boys. They were teenagers and had a couple of 300-pounders across the street. And I didn't quite weigh 300 then. But I wrestled with them. They were getting smart with me. I said, I can whip all of you at one time. And I did. And I didn't let them know it, but my wife had to help me in and out of the bed for about 2 weeks. I realized that I don't ever want to do that again. I don't ever want to prove that I can whip them again, you know, because I hurt my back. And things have been going wrong ever since. You know what? I got to have these things because my eyes are not working like they used to. Now, you might be like Billy Barn that way. That poor boy was blind when he was born. He didn't have to get old to have his eyes change. But as you get old, you start wasting away. And you look at the beauty of youth and the strength of youth. Enjoy it while you can, kids. Because it's not going to stay with you. It's just not going to be there. Because this vile body is deteriorating. Now, if you got a good doctor and a good insurance, well, they'll work on your heart. They'll work on your liver. They'll work on your brain. They'll work on your eyes. They'll work on your feet. But your vile body is going down bad pretty fast. And you know what? I'm not too sad about that. Because I'm going to get a new body. What he said right here. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Now, do you remember anything about the glorious body of Jesus Christ? I'm not talking, I imagine his own physical body was glorious. I don't see how Jesus could have ever really been sick. It just doesn't. He did. He never did sin. He was born sinless. And so I just don't see how he could have been sick or been weak physically, as we have some children born with problems, you know. From the day they're born, they have weakness and physical problems. I don't see that in him. I believe he had just about a perfect natural body. And yet, he's going to die upon the cross of Calvary. His body is going to die. Goes into the grave. Now, I have no doubt it was a perfect body and a body to be envied. Although people around him might not have recognized it. It said there's nothing, no beauty in him that we should desire him. And no, he wasn't the most beautiful man. He wasn't the male model. I don't believe he's the man that Adam was. You don't talk about one good looking, big, strong dude, try Adam. God made him perfect. Hey, you gals looking for beauty? Try Eve. There hasn't been a woman born that's as beautiful as Eve. Strong as Eve. Good night. She had sons and daughters maybe for 900 years. It doesn't tell us how long she lived. We know Adam lived 930 years and had sons and daughters. Goodness, what a woman. Perfect in beauty. But we've come a long ways from there, haven't we? And are we getting better? I don't think we're getting better. I believe somehow our gene pool's been corrupted and we're born with a lot of problems that they didn't have and whatever. But look at Jesus in his glorified body. Remember Mary? She runs up to the sepulcher and she thinks this man standing there is not Jesus. She thought he might be a gardener. He might be somebody else, but she's looking for a dead man. And here is this man standing there. And then she recognizes him when he speaks to her. And you remember the guys when they're all getting together? What happens when lots of troubles and tragedies hit? Well, people gather. People gather when a tragedy hits. Well, when Jesus died, the disciples gathered. And they were a little bit afraid. They were gathering and they had a sort of a secret gathering. And Jesus appeared to them. But he didn't open the door. He didn't knock. No, Peter, he had to knock on the door. Get him to open up the door for him over there in the book of Acts. But Jesus didn't do that. He just appeared. Talk about Star Trek. Has nothing on the Bible. I mean, he just moved right through the walls. I tell you something else. He tells Mary, he said, don't touch me. I have not yet ascended to my Father. And he goes, he tells Thomas, stick your hand in. I've already taken care of my job. I went up there and laid the blood on the mercy seat in the heavens. And I'm already back again. It's 93 million miles to the sun. How far is it to the North Star? And heaven is out there to the north, above this heaven, the heaven of heavens. I tell you what, Paul said he went up to the third heaven. There aren't seven heavens, there are three, according to the Bible. He went into the third heaven. And you got the heaven that you can see, and then you got this vast creation, and then you got God's throne and God's home. And that big, wonderful mansion he's building for you. Now, he could eat, and he could drink, and he had flesh and bones. Some conclude from that, and I'm not really sure that he had no blood, because his blood was shed. And I don't know about that. You can get into doctrinal study on that if you want to, but that glorified body was something else. And that body is never going to get sick. That body is never going to need glasses. That body is never going to have an operation. That body is never going to grow old. I really believe Jesus is about 33 years old. I don't think you 21-year-olds are perfect. I think you got to be about 33 to get there. 33 years old. Man, fully mature, fully grown. I know I didn't quit growing until I was 25 or 26 anyway, just in physical size. My shoe size, my height. And then I kept on growing this way, growing out. But this glorified body, man, wouldn't it be nice not to have any toothaches? wouldn't it be nice not to have any stomach aches? Wouldn't it be nice not to have any infirmities? Well, that's what I think it's saying. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body? I'll tell you what, he had a glorious body. He could appear, he could disappear, he could travel. No telling how many millions of miles and light years or space or whatever it is in an instant without a problem, without having to get on a plane. And by the way, they're talking about strapping you on a board in a plane. You want a cheap ticket? Stand up and get strapped to a board. Now they're getting some cheap tickets, I want you to know. It'd have to be awful cheap before I'd take a ticket strapped to a board in an airplane. I at least want a seat even if it's not big enough for me. Praise the Lord, he said, we look for the Savior, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. When are we going to get this change? Well, if you look over at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, at the last part of that chapter, you'll see where the Lord comes and we are changed in a moment. 1 Corinthians 15, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. When the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. This vile body you have right here is going to get a transformation. Amen. The Jesus that came out of the grave was the Jesus that went into the grave. But he was transformed. He didn't have a vile body that could get sick and die anymore. He had a perfect body. A glorious body. So we're looking for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. That it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Now the last part of this sentence is a beautiful thing too, if you think about it. According to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. One of the problems we have is we don't subdue everything about our own body. I don't think we can. It'd be nice, we think it'd be nice if we could. But all the best intentions we have, all the gymnasiums that they've got all over the place, all of the memberships in racquetball clubs, all of the diets of the world, and we're still very, very fat. And we're still very, very lazy. If I had you raise your hand, how many have an exercise machine somewhere in your house? I'm sure it's probably in the garage. I'm not going to make you do it because that might be embarrassing. We all have them. You know what? They're dying of rust. They're not being overused. We can tell, can't we? And is it getting easier to eat than it used to be? They had a group of diabetics that were Aborigines in Australia. And this one doctor, he took these Aborigines that had become diabetic, and he sent them back to the bush to eat what they had eaten when they grew up. Cured every one of their diabetes. Some modern food. And the fast food, and the prepared food, and all this other, and food's too easy. You wouldn't be fat if you had to work real hard for your food. You wouldn't have a problem using an exercise machine if you had to work for a living, would you? We don't. We are a blessed people. Think about us. We're not looking for our daily food. Now, the Lord's talking to those people and say, thank Him for your daily food. You thank Him for your monthly check. You thank Him for your freezer that is full of meat 6 months to a year old. Or corn the same age. I had a man living next door to me. He was vice president of the bank in Quetzaltenango, Guatemala. And we were talking about things, and he found out that I'd brought a freezer down to the mission field. A freezer. What would you want a freezer for? I said, well, you buy half a beef, and you put it in there, and you freeze it. And you eat it up, say, within 6 months, you know, and you got it all to meat right there. He said, oh, I wouldn't eat meat 6 months old. The only people he dealt with were the meat market men that had the red flag out. They just killed. He wanted fresh, killed meat. He didn't want meat that had been frozen in a freezer for 6 months. It was beyond his imagination. This is an educated man. This is a fairly well-off man. He did not want a freezer. He didn't want a deep freeze. It's amazing how we eat. We are really blessed. Stephen come out to the house, locked his keys in the car. And we weren't there. So he couldn't get back in his car and leave. Come out to visit Grandma and Grandpa. You know, that was a nice gesture. I appreciate that. But the poor guy started looking for his keys. They were inside his car. Well, he figures we're going to come home sooner or later. Well, he got in the house, broke 3 windows. No, I'm lying. He got in the house. Now, you know what I found? I found him in the living room watching my television, a movie on my television, sitting in the living room, and he'd already eaten up about 6 of my things. I mean, that boy's a growing boy. I'm stretching the truth a little there, but wait, all he had to do is walk out to the freezer, and there it was, just pop it in the microwave, boom, you got your meal. And that's the way we live, don't we? Yeah. You women say, I'm not a servant. I don't have to cook. Take me out. Any of you ever heard that? Any of you men ever heard that? Take me out. My poor wife, she took care of kids for 30 years, and she didn't want flowers. Don't buy me flowers. She didn't want a bunch of other gifts. You know what she wanted? Take me out to eat where I don't have to clean up the kitchen. She didn't care if it was a McDonald's hamburger or it was a hot dog at some place, long as she didn't have to clean up the kitchen. And you know, she's still that way. Take me out. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I know where my bread's buttered. We have things so great, so easy. We're looking at our monthly bread, not our daily bread. But you ought to still thank God for your daily bread. You ought to be thankful you can still eat. Amen? I'll tell you what. Whereby He is able to subdue all things unto Himself. This new body and this Christ that we serve with this glorious body has got perfect control. Man, that would be nice. I don't know how many times I have repented of something over and over and over again. You have that problem? It is a discouraging thing. Some of these missionaries come home and say, well, we failed. We didn't get this many. We didn't win this many. Some of the street preachers, the preachers, the rescue mission or whatever, they'll say, well, you know, we didn't have any converts or whatever. And like Corey was mentioning when he was here, you know, well, I expected more, you know. It'd be nice. But you know the problem is? Most of us end up confessing the same things over and over and over again. But by the way, that's not all that bad. Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. Because that's where you get the victory. You may have a lot of willpower, but your willpower is going to fail you on something. And so you may have willpower in certain areas, and you may get some real victory there. But sooner or later, you're going to find some place where your willpower just falls down flat. Now, that's one of the reasons why I'm really glad that I gave up certain things. I gave up drinking. I gave up smoking. I gave up gambling. Gave up cussing. Well, I don't know what kind of cusser I'd be, but I tell you what, I'd be an alcoholic right now if I hadn't given up drinking. If I were still a social drinker, why, good night. If I can't control food, what in the world would I do with alcohol? What about cigarettes? I've known people, they asked me to pray with them and deal with them and over again, and they determined they were going to quit them. They knew they hurt them. And a little while later, they're back smoking again. You don't want to mess with drugs. Goodness gracious. If you think your self-control over your food is a problem or cigarettes is a problem, these poor people get on drugs. Some of them really want to be off, but just get them back for just a month or so, and man, they're gone. And some of them are sincere people. Some of them are strong-willed people. We're weak. We have our problems. We don't have control over everything. I'm going to be glad not get a body like this one. He said he's able to subdue all things unto himself. This is the Lord. This is the Lord. Well, I tell you what, that's one of my favorite things. I'm not only looking for the Savior, I'm looking for a new body, like unto his glorious body. And I think that is another one of those great treasures we have in Christ. Tremendous great treasures we have in Christ. Now look at chapter 4. Therefore, anytime you see a therefore or a wherefore in your Bible, it means as a conclusion of what I've already taught you. What you see in the chapter before, what you've been reasoned with up to this point, here's the conclusion. Come down to a conclusion. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Now, the conclusion is, therefore, stand fast. Well, there are a lot of Christians not standing fast today. There are a lot of Christians fooled by the world. Or they get caught off by politics or caught off by some other ism. Or I've even seen Christians I thought were born-again believers get caught off into cults. Stupid things. And you just wonder how in the world it could possibly be. And I don't know. I just know the devil's very tricky. I know he's very smart. Therefore, my dearly beloved and longed for, I like the way he talks to them. You know, I do love the church. I don't know what will happen when I get to a place where I can't preach and teach and can't be a part of the leadership of this church. But I love the church. I love meeting you and greeting you and talking to you and fellowshipping you. I don't know what I'd do. It would be a sad, sad thing, a lonely thing to be outside, away from the fellowship of the church. I made a commitment 49 years ago. I made a commitment to get into the church and serve the Lord. And I've been in the church serving the Lord ever since. That's my life. Now, I know people, they take motorhomes. They sell their house, they buy my motorhome, and they just travel all over. Because I've done a lot of traveling as a preacher. I have traveled. And as a vacationer, I have traveled. I've visited lots of places many times. Great places. But you know what? I get real bored. I don't get bored at the church. Now, maybe you get bored at church. I don't get bored at church. When I hear somebody praising the Lord Jesus Christ, I hear somebody explaining the Word of God, I hear somebody telling me what kind of body I'm going to have in the future, I hear somebody talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, I hear somebody telling me I'm going to be free from sin, that I'm going to have all these problems settled. Whoa, man, I'm going to have fellowship. You think I'm loud now? Wait till you hear me at the shout. I'm going to get a glorious body. I'll tell you what, I'm going to have a great voice. I'm looking forward to an eternity. Several of the brothers in here are my age, and one or two maybe a little older. But you know what? When I talk to them, they spent every one of those days 24 hours a day. But now looking back, it's like 2 weeks or a month. It just went like that. How did I get those kids grown? How can my kid be joining AARP this year? That is a revelation. My son's going to be a member of AARP. That's not supposed to happen. It's happened too fast. He said, my dearly beloved, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for. Paul's saying, hey, I miss you guys. Hey, Philippi was a place of blessing for Paul. It was pretty bad, too. Remember, that's where he got beat up with the stripes on his back and got condemned and had to leave town and all sorts of things happened there. But, oh, man, he got some blessings while he was there. And he made some friends while he was there. And they loved him and he loved them. He said, my dearly beloved and longed for, do you love the church? Do you love the people of the church? Because the church is people. This building in the English language is called a church. It's really just a church building. We're the church. If you're a part of us, you're a part of the church. There is a fellowship. There is a friendship. There is a blessing that a lot of people miss out on. My fellowship is not outside the church. I don't join a lot of things that are good things to join. I turn people down all the time. I say, no, I'm sorry. Or you don't like this. Like, no, you got me wrong. I'm for you, but I'm not going to join you. And they don't understand that. But you see, I only have a certain amount of time I can commit to anything. My God, I'm supporting the church. Amen. I don't think that was a mistake. I think it's one of the best moves I ever made. Now, does the church always treat me right? No, I can guarantee you the church hadn't always treated me right. I'm worth a lot more than you think I am. No, the church doesn't always treat you right. Do you always get the respect that you think you ought to get? No, I don't get the respect I ought to get. How about your kids? Do they give you the respect you think you ought to get? Probably not. Probably not. But what are kids? Well, they're a great, great blessing. And they are a lot of trouble. They are a heartache. My daddy said, when they're little, son, they step on your toes. When they get big, they step on your heart. Boy, he knew what he's talking about. Well, the church is the same way. You see, what a blessing you are. How beloved, how longed for you are. And yet, what a heartache. Do we go through heartaches? Yeah, we go through heartaches. In the church, yes. Everybody with problems, the other people out there in the world? No. Everybody in the church got problems too. Everybody that gets caught off in sin and in trouble is just those people out there in the world and the bars and the whorehouses? No. Everybody in the church is tempted and gets problems. Oh, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for. And look what he said, my joy and crown. You want to see how parents think about their kids, go to one of these Little League ball games. Just go to a Little League ball game. Or maybe one of these T-balls. First time they're playing, these little five-year-olds. You give them a bat, and they stick the ball up on a little chute coming up. And they just hit it right there. Boom! And then they take off running. I have never laughed so hard in my life. I went to one with Brian, I think it was. It was the funniest thing. He hit that ball, and all those kids run every different direction. They did not know what they were doing. They didn't know where to go to the bases. They didn't know where to put him out. And you got your parents back up here just screaming and yelling and hollering, and then somebody puts somebody out. And you got the whole family, grandma and grandpa and the parents and the brothers and sisters. Hey, what now, you bum, you blind referee? These are T-ball kids. There's no money on this game. But, oh, don't put out. Don't put out. Yeah, maybe. You might be right. Don't put out their boy. And by the way, if you're a coach, be sure you better play their boy. He said, my joy and my crown. Hey, what am I interested in? What I love. This is my love. I'm proud of them. Now, there's a saying. There's only one most beautiful baby in the world, and every mother has it. You go down to the hospital, and they hold this little ugly mass of flesh.
They say, he's so cute. He's so beautiful. Oh, looks just like his daddy. Looks just like his mother. Oh, goodness. What a doll. What a beauty. No, he's ugly as homemade soap. He looks like Joey Brown on a bad day. Some of you are too young for that one, but that was an old comedian. Ugly face. That's what Eddie looked like to me when I first saw him. I said, he looks like Joey Brown. I don't think he's forgiven me for it since. My joy and my crying. Boy, you get to loving those kids in nothing flat. You get to hurting when they hurt. And let me tell you something. When they're 50 years old, you still hurt. You don't get rid of them. You think you do. Oh, you think, yeah, I'm going to get them away. Psh, yeah, push them out. Yeah, they're going to get them up. Get them grown. Get them out on their own. Yeah, come on. You're going to hurt every time they hurt. You're going to be embarrassed every time they're embarrassed. You're going to rejoice with every success they have. You're going to live with them. You can't get away from them. You can try to put them out of your mind. You can't do it. They're yours. My joy and my crown. That's what he wrote to the Philippian church. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, because of all he's done in just chapter 3 of Philippians is one of the greatest expressions of the greatness of salvation anywhere in the Word of God. Paul's testimony of his religious life and how he counted all that religion as dung to win Christ. Be found in him, not having his own righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ. And all that. Wow, it's a tremendous statement. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, long for my joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Why do you reckon he said that? You know what Paul saw? He saw a lot of people not standing fast. He saw a lot of people getting in trouble and quitting. He saw a lot of people staying home from the church because they got their feelings hurt. He saw a lot of people dividing because two brothers couldn't get along within the assembly. And so they divide up and they cause problems and they hurt people. And you know the problem most of this, some of you old hard heads get together and you fight out some point of doctrine or some point of power or something between you. And you know what happens? You two can probably survive it, but people looking all around you get hurt and leave. You ought to be thinking of what you do and what it's going to do to weaker brother.
That's right. Amen.
You ought to.
Amen.
Because people get hurt. And it would be a wonderful thing. I have done my best to teach it and preach it. Don't act upon your feelings. But you know what most people do? They act on their feelings. They're not willing to act reasonably. They're not willing to act logically. I'm hurt. I'm mad. I have been insulted. I have been offended. You can't treat me that way. Boom! And they're gone. And then who gets hurt? Well, the whole church gets hurt. Who gets hurt? Your family really gets hurt. Are you one of those who are going to pull out like that? Take a look at some of them. Brother Jones brought a good message here the other night. Very good message. It was the truth. You know who gets hurt most? If you withdraw from these brethren, dearly beloved, long for joy and crown, and you end up sitting in your easy chair on a Sunday morning or going to the lake on Sunday morning or playing golf on Sunday morning, who gets hurt? You do. Sure, you hurt the church. And sure, you hurt some of your friends. But you get hurt. You talk about shriveling up. You think right now, I could never do that such a thing. Well, you get away from the Lord for a little while and see what you can do. Just get a little bit backslidden, see what you can do. Believe me. Any sin that a lost person can commit, a Christian can commit the same sin. And they can come to the place that you can look at the lost person, look at the same person, and can't tell the difference. Stand fast in the Lord. Boy, there have been days I didn't want to walk to the church. Didn't want to come to it. But you know what? I had a commitment. I'd taken a stand. There are times I thought it was going to blow up in my face and just fall apart. But you know, it hasn't. God Almighty said, I'm going to keep it going. And you know what? I'm glad I'm still here. And I'm glad I'm still fellowshipping with the believers. And there were times when that'd be a small little fellowship. In fact, we started out, we didn't have many. Stand fast. You've made a good start. You've taken a stand on the truth of the Word of God. You've taken a stand on the church. You've taken a stand on the name of Jesus. You've taken a stand on salvation by grace alone without any works of the law.
You've taken a stand for a righteous life. You've taken a stand against a whole lot of things in this corrupt world we live in. Stand fast where you've taken your stands. It's too big what you've got. It's too great what you've got. And you know something? They're not just the people in this church looking at you. You've got an extended family looking at you. My wife had an uncle that loved. I was the preacher. And he loved to get me out at one of the family barbecues. Get his big old tall man, his arm around my shoulder, you know, around my neck. Gather all the men around and tell a dirty joke. He's got me there where I ain't going to see just what kind of reaction I'm going to have, you know. I used to just hate to go. I thought, what's he going to do this time? What's he going to do this time? That man finally made a profession of faith. And that man had me preach his funeral. You just never know. You just never know. There are people out there looking at you. You say, I'm just one of the little members of the church. I'm just one of those that just come. Does anybody know that? Oh, I bet they do. I bet there are people out there saying, he's one of those Christians, and he's one of them nuts that goes over there at 602 Oakno. Look at how he does. They're looking at you. Your old friends and your family are looking at you. People you work with are looking at you. Stand fast. Give them something to see. You don't have to brag on it all the time. You don't have to say it out of your mouth all the time. Just stand up and be there. Here's where I stand. Here's where my money goes. Here's where my time goes. Stand fast in the Lord. My dearly beloved. Notice that again. Look at this verse. In thinking of the love that he has for this church. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. You know, Paul's a pretty tough old boy. You read his letters? Does he back off from anybody? Not a time that I can remember. That's pretty loving. That's very expressive. Very loving. This man loved this church. This man expressed his love to the church. Now let me just ask you a little question. Do you love the church? Do you love it enough to stand fast for it? Do you love it enough to stand by it when it's under attack? Do you love it enough to be there when you're needed? Do you love it enough to put your money where your mouth is? Do you love it enough to put your time there? How much do you love the church? How much do you love these brethren? Anybody in here worth loving? Anybody in here worth your love? Well, that's a tremendous verse. I looked at that verse and I said, wow. Therefore, because of this great salvation that I've been brought into, therefore losing all these things that were religion in the world, therefore, I come down to this point, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Amen. God bless you.